At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
Hey, y'all. Welcome back to the Don't Mom Alone podcast. I'm your host, Heather McFadden, and this is the place where I get to walk alongside you and connect you with people and resources so you know that you don't mom alone. And in this episode, number 541, I'm welcoming to the show Mark Gregston.
And one day they will see that and mature to the point that they will realize the sacrifice that's been made, the time that's been made, and the intent of why we're doing what we're doing to get to a better place with them so that I can speak truth into their life as they go through these difficult times. That's what I want. And usually I just sit back. I mean, even a fool appears wise when he keeps their mouth shut. And so instead of sharing information, we need to be sharing wisdom. So I would look at any parent and say this, well, Mom, what wisdom do you carry? And it's a shift in thinking. Instead of just correcting, it ought to be more intentional, connecting.
Mark is our teen expert today, and he has earned that title. He's worked with teens and their parents for over 50 years. He and his wife, Jan, started Heartlight Ministries in 1988. It's a residential counseling center in Longview, Texas. He also is the host of Parenting Teens Today podcast and has written over 20 different books. He hosts a Family in Crisis conference, and if you're in the Texas area or you are wanting to come to that, it's happening October 2nd to 4th this year. And if you right now are in crisis and you need some coaching, I'm going to give you a phone number. Write it down, 903-668-2173. They are here to help because their goal is to equip parents of teenagers with biblically based resources, training, and education that will create and encourage deeper and long-lasting parent-teen relationships. Today, he and I are chatting because my hope was if you are a family in crisis or if you just aren't loving the relationship you have with your teen, maybe they're not communicating with you right now and you need some support, Mark is here to give, after all those years of experience, his best guidance and advice for us and where to put our time and energy. And I'm going to tell you, it's going to be connection. So he is going to help you with that relationship. Let's get right to it. Here we go. Mark, welcome to the Don't Mom Alone podcast.
Don't Mom Alone. I mean, isn't that, I mean, you think about that because so many moms feel like they are alone in their parenting regimen or their process and stuff. So it's so good to be with you today.
I have known about your ministry because of a pie you used to send us. A pecan pie, but you've been doing this work with teens for quite a while. Yeah. I'm sure your website isn't even up to date. How many years have you been?
We've been working with kids for 50 years like this. 50. You know, when Jane and I were 19, a man came up to me after we started, they asked us to lead a young life club in Tulsa, Oklahoma. And we started in the second week, a man walked up and said, I'm struggling with my son. And I'm 19 and I'm going, well, you know, I'm not so sure what to tell you.
Yeah.
And I said, why don't you let him come live with me? And that's how it all started. And so ever since then, even after Jane and I got married, we would always have kids living with us, and these were the kids who were struggling, having a tough time, because wherever they were going wasn't working, and we wanted to provide something that did. And so that's how we got into it.
Man, and now you have radio shows and podcasts and conferences and residential options, and we'll link to all of that in the show notes. I even appreciate the Family Crisis Coaching phone number, which we'll share in the show notes if y'all right now are in crisis and you need support. But since you've walked with so many families through these really hard seasons, What are you seeing right now? I know it's 50 years. What are you seeing as the most common challenge teens are facing today?
Yeah, you know, I think a lot of people would tell you that it's about the phone. I think a lot would tell you about the craziness of the culture and all those things. And there's a part of me that goes, sometimes we're missing it. Sometimes we're missing that we think that we're going to solve the issues with kids by taking away their phones. And so, I mean, the number one issue right now that's online and everywhere is, how do I limit my child's phone? What states need to ban phones from, you know, from schools? When do you allow your child to be on social media? And there's a part of me that goes, you know what? You're missing it. Mm. You're missing it that we created this world. We stuck iPads in our kids' hands to babysit them. We stopped having conversations at dinner when we'd take them out to eat because we had this little babysitter. And I think what happens is we get kind of pushed off to the side, and now we're realizing, wait a minute, I don't have a relationship with my child, and it's not working the way that I want. And I would say that's the number one issue, is it's all about relationships. If you have a discipline problem, you have a relationship problem that needs to be resolved in some way. And people think we can do it with rules and consequences and changing our parenting styles from teaching to training to transferring. And all. I go, that's not it. That is how you get to the point of dealing with the heart of the issue, which is relationships. And I think kids are very confused about how to have relationships. They got a ton of followers. They've got a ton of clicks. They've got a ton of likes. And I go, we think that's good. And I go, I look at a child and say, do you have personal relationships with people that will hone you, that will sharpen you, that will help you get to a better place, that will confront you, that will affirm you in some way that you grow? And we know it's not happening. I mean, the American Medical Association has increased the age of adolescence to age 27. The American Journal of Adolescent Psychiatry has increased it to age 26. And you go, so it's not working the way it is. And I think we've got to be more relationship focused. So the idea that we just take away a phone and those relationships are going to happen, somebody would have to be crazy to think that. If I'm sitting at a table with my granddaughters, and I've got a granddaughter that's 19 at the University of Arkansas, and another one's 24 that just got married, if we're sitting at a table and they pull out their phones, it's because I have now become boring. It's yeah. Because that phone has become more interesting than me. And I've got to look at it and go, how do I remain engaged and keep that relationship happening with them?
Mm. Man, it's good. I'm thinking though of the mom, like I have my own four teens, but then I also walk with a lot of families, you know, in real life, and then online people will send me things. And I've walked with families and I would have said, like, they have great relationships with their kids, and then the teens still struggle. And so
yeah,
I know there's a mom listening who's like, yes, and we had a great relationship and my teen is, and they just found out they're blindsided. You know, those moments I've had them. Friends of mine have had them where you think everything's great, and then you get the revelation that, oh no, we are suddenly in crisis because I didn't know, name the thing, eating disorder, alcoholism, sex, whatever the thing is. What's the first thing a mom should do? And let's just assume like yeah. she has had a great relationship with her kid and just completely blindsided.
Well, you know, it's interesting to me. If people could see me, they would know that I look like a grandfather, and because I am. And so I get to talk at a lot of grandparenting events around the country. And it's interesting to me how the focus is always on little kids, preteens. I mean, grandparenting is all about that. When they're cute, they're wonderful. They listen to you. They do everything you want.
They think you hung the moon.
That's yeah. right. Yeah. That's right. And so so it works. And it's, God, they're great pictures. And you know, but that's not when your grandkids need you. And that's not when your kids need you. And this is the only time that I tell people that they're wrong. I'd never tell anybody that they're wrong in their parenting, except for this one thing. If you think that the parenting style that's made you effective during the preteen years is going to work during the teen years, you are wrong. You've got to make that shift, because what's happened is our kids have made the shift and you haven't. And so now it surprises you that they're smoking, drinking, vaping, you know, having, you know, doing whatever, isolating, which is huge, that they're so anxious, they're depressed. We don't see it, so we can't respond to it. And I think that's where, that's truly where we miss it as parents, thinking, wait a minute, I had a great relationship. We have always talked, we've talked about things, blah, 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 you know, and I go, but that's, your child has a different way of looking at life now because they've moved from this concrete thinking to abstract thinking, and they're thinking beyond maybe where you are. And so it's not scolding a mom that's struggling through that with their kids, but it's encouraging, but make the change. Move from a teaching model to now start training up your child because that's what they want. And then when your kid goes off to college, train them, transfer everything to them, let them be in control, let them make decisions, do all those things. But I think it's helping that mom realize that the change is going to happen. And when it does, you've got to make the change as well because of this. Your kids need you more during the teen years than any other time of their life. And people criticize me for saying this, but it's I say it all the time. They go, well, isn't their relationship with Christ the most important thing? And I go, I don't think so. Mm-hmm. I think it's a parent's, because a parent can continue, if they stay engaged and have that relationship, speak truth into the life of a child over a period of time through the valleys and through the mountains and through the difficulties and hardships. And I think that way you're fleshing out that relationship with Christ and being a living demonstration and example for them. So that relationship becomes key, and you could do it. I mean, you could do it. That's the biggest thing that I talk about everywhere I go, it seems like, is helping people with relationships.
I saw some Instagram reel that said you have to move from being a dog parent with dog energy to a cat parent with cat energy. So you're present, because moms are probably thinking, okay, well, what's that transition? Like, I know that they're changing, but what, how do I change? And I love how simple that was to, because we have two cats and a dog. So, and I totally get the example. My dog's following me around everywhere, but the cats are kind of just there and they're chilling, and they'll provide comfort when I need it, but they're not like forcing themselves on me. And so I think you're right, like being available. And even in the car rides, just had a meeting for my sophomore. It's an all boys school. So they really focus in on how boys process. And they're like, when they get in the car, it's not the time to like throw all the questions on them.
Yeah.
You know, say, hey, it's great to be with you. That's the first thing. If you want to change the music, you can give them like agency to control something in the car. And then like, hey, what do you think we should have for dinner? Burgers or chicken? And then just be there. And the things start coming out instead of inundating with questions.
Well, you know, you're absolutely right. I got to go back. I mean, which do you like better, your cats or your dog?
I like the dog better. See, my husband likes the cats better.
I see. You know, I'm not a cat guy. When people say, do dogs go to heaven? I'm sure they do. Get to heaven and whistle, and your dog's going to come up. A cat, they're not going to make it, I don't think. I just don't.
So you don't like the analogy because you don't like cats.
No, but I appreciate your comment. But, you know, I think this is what happens with moms. And I it follows exactly what you're saying. Is that our kids are bombarded with so much information. When you and I grew up, I mean, we're years apart because I know you're only like 22 or 23.
Yeah, but totally got it. Yeah. I have a 20-year-old, but whatever.
There it's you fine. Go. Well, it was early. Mm-hmm. But I mean, but it's we're much the same in the processing of information. And when you and I grew up, it would double the amount of information in this world, codified information, written information every 13 years. Now it is doubling every minute and a half, which means your kids are bombarded and they have on their phone the access to the Library of Congress. So moms, if all you're doing is speaking information to your child, they don't want it because they don't need you anymore. And here's what happens with that when a mom talks more than they should. And I tell moms, you've got to stop. Just stop. Be quiet. Quit talking so much. And here's the reason why, is because if you keep talking and all you're doing is pouring out information, your child will shut you down in a heartbeat. And this is what will happen. And every man knows this to be true. Every man that I know of, I know that any any one woman that's listening to this podcast is wiser than all the men that live in your neighborhood. And if moms shut that relationship down where your kid's not listening to you, they will miss out on all the wisdom that a mom has to offer, which is far beyond what a dad can offer. I mean, it's always been that way. I mean, dads want to fix things. Let's get things done. Here, quit doing that. Do this. The other part of it is a mom goes a little bit deeper because she has that sixth sense. And so that's what I tell parents. How do you do it? It's easy. Quit talking and start listening. Quit having lectures and start having discussions. Know that it's okay to have quiet time. You don't have to teach a lesson every time you open your mouth. Quit making decisions. Let them make decisions. Quit taking responsibility for everything they do. Let them take responsibility. Let them take control of their life because that's what they want. And some of their actions that you see, these inappropriate actions, may be in response to saying to you, I need more things in life and I'm not getting it from you. So I'm going to go find it somewhere else. And I think when a mom or a dad comes to grips with that, I think that's where they begin to say, maybe we do need to change some of our ways. And it doesn't mean any of them are wrong. I'm not saying that. It just means we need to flow with this cultural change that's happened with our kids so we can remain engaged with them like God has placed us in the early years. He wants us there during those teen years as well. We've got to make it happen.
This episode is sponsored by Go Pure. Now, I may be making a bad assumption, but if you're listening to an episode on teens, you may or may not be like me and in the market for some good tightening and lifting neck cream. What's really great, there's also this whole arm situation happening and the sagging and the crepey skin on the arms. So Go Pure has created a great neck and arm cream bundle. This duo, this powerhouse, is gonna visibly firm and smooth and restore the look of the skin where it matters most. I also love, because I'm a big fan of going clean, that all of Go Pure products, it's in the name, are cruelty-free, paraben-free, sulfate-free. So you're giving your skin clean, effective care without all those harsh chemicals or compromises. And I know, maybe not in Texas, but in other places, fall means you're wearing more layers, but that doesn't mean you need to ignore your neck and your arms. So treat them well. Thousands have made Go Pure their go-to because they see visible results in just 4 to 8 weeks. I absolutely love it. It's like my treat at the end of the day to get to put on my Go Pure neck cream. And if I'm extra good to myself, I'll do it in the morning as well. They have so many products too. They have a full line of science-backed skin and body care to tighten and lift and smooth your skin from head to toe. You can even try their products risk-free. I know with skincare products, I'm always like, yeah, but does it really work? Well, you can try it risk-free for 60 days. And if you don't love it, you get your money back, no questions asked. So right now, Go Pure has a crazy deal. For a limited time, you get 57%, that's such a random number, but I love it, 57% off of the Tighten and Lift Neck Cream and the Sculpt and Tone Arm Cream Bundle. You can also get 25% off their other products by using the code DMA at GoPure.com. So head to GoPure.com, use the code DMA for a huge discount. And after you buy, do me a favor, when they ask where you heard about Go Pure, tell them it was from our show. What I talk to parents about with parenting teens is sometimes it can be isolating because there's a lot of shame if your teen is struggling. And I know, like what you're saying is sometimes this can be because we haven't changed our communication style and they're reacting to it. I've had lots of different personality boys who respond to my same parenting with different choices. So it's not exactly all me. So can you help a mom move from that self-blame? Because I think that shame and self-blame kind of isolate more to something more constructive. And I think you've said that, like, stop talking, listen. Anything else you would add to that?
Yeah. I would say, you know, at some point, I mean, you're responsible. You're a responsible parent. but you're not responsible for every choice that your child makes. Yeah. I mean, we know that to be true. They're growing up. We're moving them to independence. They're totally dependent on us at 12 and 13. We want to move them to independence. And so there's a part of it that if we don't help them get there, they're going to respond negatively. And so we, as the preteen years, start to think that, well, we've done something wrong. This is what's happening. Your child is starting to do something wrong. This isn't about you, Mom. I mean, it's been about you because you've transferred your values, your principles, your biblical insights, your, you know, everything that you've held on to and embraced all your life. But now it's about them. It's not about you anymore. And so the shame that comes is because we hold on to the mentality that it's still our fault that they're doing something wrong. Make no mistake, it is their fault that they're doing something wrong. And so the key isn't, how do I always change that? Because I believe that when a kid struggles, there's something good about that. It means they're not content with where they are and they want to be somewhere different. They're just choosing the wrong places to be. And so what that means is I've got to spend time as a parent thinking, okay, can I still love my child during the times that they're struggling the most? And I tell people all the time, I want every kid that I come in contact with to know this. You know, there's nothing you can do to make me love you more, and there's nothing you can do to make me love you less. And so even during those tough times, it's almost that the parents are on trial a little bit. Will you stick with me during these times? Do we know how to love somebody when they're not following everything we want? And they did during the preteen years, because they're good little munchkins that just say, well, yes, Mom and Dad.
Some of them push back the hardest before, and then they're easy teens.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. But some that pushback, yeah. If it comes later, you just kind of go,
yeah. It had to come at some point, right?
Yeah, yeah.
How do we tell the difference between what's normal teen behavior? We always hear about, like, you know, oh my gosh, the teen years. And what are red flags? Like, something bigger is going on. Like, this is something that I need to bring in outside help or resources for?
Well, you know, let me speak with, like, normal behavior. I mean, it's normal for a kid to be on a phone. You know, what they're doing when they are in social media, when they're everything they're doing.
Gaming, yeah.
Yeah, it's funny to me. Now, social media, they're and spending time on Instagram and TikTok and trying to keep up with everybody. What they're trying to do is fulfill the very thing that God created them for, which is to be connected in relationships. I think what happens is that it becomes frustrating for them. And so they don't feel like that all their efforts are not working. And so they've got to start doing things outside of what is normal for them. It's normal for a kid to be on a phone 8 hours a day. Now, do I like it? Absolutely not. Do I think there needs to be, you know, no cell phone places within your home? Absolutely. Do I think there needs to be boundaries? Yes, of course, all those things. But the desire for a child to do that is pretty normal because they want to connect because they're in a world that's non-relational. The other thing about gaming that you mentioned, I think it's interesting why it's young men that are so visually stimulated that are moving toward gaming and become not addicted, but maybe dependent, and it becomes their relationship. But it's also an escape from the real world. I mean, games that they play are amazing to me, how intriguing they are. And I tell you, anybody would get consumed. That's why I have no games on my phone. You know, but it's not just kids. I'm on flights, 200 flights a year. I mean, and it's parents. I mean, they're on the phones.
I have a game I'm addicted to, I will admit. My boys will look over and they will see it. Royal Kingdom.
Wow.
Yeah. And I got on it because I was trying to get off of Instagram.
There you go.
I was like, well, I'd rather be here and be playing a game than continually inundated with.
Yeah.
And isn't
it interesting that it's almost like time stands still? I mean, and before you know it, you've
30 minutes gone,
30 minutes, 2 hours. And time passes and you go, wow. Okay. So my only concern about that is it's an opportunity cost. What did you miss during that 2 hours time that you would have? But people don't talk to each other on, on planes. They don't talk to you. I mean, they just don't talk anymore.
Yeah.
And that's the relational component of it. And so, I mean, there's a normalcy to that, and there's ways to control that and to get a handle on it and help your kids get to a better place. But I think some of the red flags are when they're isolating, when they become dark, when they quit talking, when they start wanting you to give them their meal in their room rather than them coming to the table, when you start hearing words you've never heard out of their mouth, when they start liking things they've always hated and they begin hating things they've always liked, that they make comments about depression, they look at things differently. I mean, I think it's looking for the abnormal, you know, and anybody would say that's not normal. You know, now for you to deal with modesty with your daughter, you'll always deal with that. I mean, it's always going to be, it always will be, you know. And are you going to deal with a son's anger? Yeah, yeah. Because he's supposed to get discontented with mom and dad, so he wants to move on to another place. And so you want that to happen. When he says at 17, you know, I can live on my own. I can do what I want. I don't need you. That is a good sign because it means he wants to be independent. And that's one of our goals. But that's when we come back and say, yeah, I want that, but you're going to have to do it the right way. You can't be disrespectful or dishonest or disobedient in the process. So I think it's looking for those red flags among the normalcy of kids. But if you have that relationship, then what you do is just spend that time talking about those things, engaging, doing something different, getting out of the house, getting away from the phone, you know, kind of thing.
And I'm sure when people call to come to the residential counseling center, I'm hoping it's not the first step for people. I'm hoping they have community they've talked to. Maybe they're part of a youth program, a high school minister is involved, a counselor that's local, and they've gone through and they're like at the end of their options.
Right.
Possibly. And they come see you. So what does that look like? Are parents calling you and just saying, we don't know what to do, whether it's suicidal intentions or addiction? Is it addictions? Like, what are the things that people come?
Yeah, you know, I think it's a little bit of everything. I mean, we will, you know, any tragedy that you hear of, that we will get somebody from that. I mean, whether Just think of a tragedy. So there's trauma, there's difficulty, there's hardships, there's these mindful things of depression and anxiety. There's suicidal thoughts. Somebody can't come to us that is suicidal or homicidal. They'll have to go someplace else before they come to us. But it's just kids who are struggling through dealing with life of where a mom gets killed or a car accident happens or a young lady, we have a lot of this, a young lady that is, you know, has been sexually abused by somebody. That right now we have 13 adopted kids that live with us. I mean, they're from all over the world.
So more like attachment kind of thing?
Well, yeah, it is. And trying to find their place and why they're being rejected or why they were abandoned and why they were given up at a time that's pretty hard in middle school to not belong somewhere. Mm-hmm. And so it's dealing with those issues. But I mean, here's the litmus test for most of it, is that it's when parents get to the point and say, you know, I don't think my child's going to be around if they continue in their behavior, or they're going to end up in a worse spot.
Yeah.
And it's basically, okay, listen to, I mean, if you're older, you can listen to radio. Nobody listens to radio anymore. You can listen to podcasts, you know, you can buy books. And if you don't want to buy books, just get a hold of us. I'll send you any book that we have. I mean, I give it to you. It's a gift from me to you. Come to an opportunity that we call a Family in Crisis Conference. That name, we want it to be encompassing of people in crisis, but it's also people coming to say, you know, I need to make sure I'm doing it right. I need to make sure I'm getting it to a better place. And I'm a little fearful of what I see in my child. And so you can come to that. You can do coaching with some of our staff. And then if all these things aren't working, then that may be where you need to send a child somewhere. And so we always try to discourage. I spend my life not encouraging people to send their kid to Heartlight, but to keep them from coming to Heartlight. Yeah. And I go, you know, I mean, Longview, Texas is a beautiful place in Texas. We live in a forest. It's wonderful.
Yeah. East Texas is nice. I love it.
Yeah. But I don't know whether your child is so thrilled about leaving home and the place that they love and coming to a distant land, you know, to work through issues. And but once they get here, they feel a sense of hope. And that's when we help parents get to a different point also.
So let's go back to the parents are dealing with a conflict, or they discovered something, or, you know, I can imagine if I'm like, hey guys, no phones in your room anymore, the kind of conflict that would happen. What are some mistakes parents make with the best intentions that can escalate a conflict instead of easing it?
Well, yeah. I mean, what a great question. We don't want phones in the room. So what are you going to replace it with? Mm. I mean, we've accustomed them to that. That's how they're relating to people. It's like my mom and dad, my wife and I started dating in the 9th grade. You know, our first date was a Led Zeppelin concert that my mom drove us to. I mean, and so we always wanted to be on the phone, and it was always get off the phone. And my dad thought there was always going to be an emergency where we'd need the phone. And I'm going, I don't think anybody's attacking us. You know,
And they'll get a busy signal. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, I mean, there's a normalcy to that, but I go, we want to take it away because we don't like the idea. But I sure like the idea that my child is socially connected with people, because if they're not, they're going to start doing stupid things to be connected. And so I almost want to encourage it. But I mean, I get it when people are flipping through TikTok or Reels on Facebook or, you know, any place like that. I go, it's consuming and it's fun and it's entertaining and it takes my mind away from this culture that I live in, that every one of us has said this, that I'm glad I don't have to be raised in the culture the kids are growing up in. Yeah. And so they want to get away from it. Why? Because you've done a great job of teaching them values and instilling those biblical principles and helping them get to a good place. So they're in conflict and they would like to get away from it. And so that's the intent. So my question to parents is, what are you going to provide in place of that that's going to be relaxing for them? And I go, what are you going to do to engage with them differently? If it's just to hear, to get off your phone so you can come sit with mom and dad and be lectured more, or, you know, be told how stupid you are or how you're not measuring up or how you can do things better or how you need to do things different, I can see why a child is spending time on that phone. It's interesting to me when kids come to Heartlight. I mean, we have 60 high school kids that live here with us. When they come, we don't let them have a phone. And it's amazing to me how they learn to develop relationships. Now, I'm not encouraging people to say, you know, take away their phones. I mean, because they need it. You need that for communication. Everybody communicates that way. My thing is that it's not thinking that just taking something away is going to resolve the problem. Yeah. The problem remains in our side of the court. I've got to replace it with something. And it's hard to entertain kids. But this is where you may need to spend a little bit of money. You know, I mean, look.
Yeah, we got a drum set for one of ours in his room.
Absolutely.
If you put the headphones on and you.
Yeah, do whatever you can. Buy it. Do it. I mean, to the level that you can. You take none of it with you. And I guarantee you this, one day you will regret not spending more money on your kids during the time that they needed to be entertained and engaged with you the most. Create experiences. Go make some memories before you lose yours, you know, kind of thing. And I think it's doing those things that replace. It's time at a lake. It's on a camping trip. It's doing an activity. It's playing pickleball till your legs don't move anymore. You do some things outside. Buy the horse, bring it home, you know, and have it in your backyard in downtown Dallas. I mean, who cares? You know,
well,
it's something.
The trick for us particularly, we have the conflict that we often have is we're providing all those things and there's just constant refusal to engage. Mm. And so like, how do we encourage that and not make the conflict escalate? Like,
yeah,
it feels like it's like, no, you're going to go to the lake. I don't want to go to the lake. Okay. Which you're, you know, like it feels like you end up in a battle and you don't want that to go there. So like how, like, let's say it's, you know, not nothing phones. It's a curfew conflict or it's a, I don't know, name the thing, homework. They're not doing their homework. Like, how do we address these things and not add to the conflict, but kind of.
Yeah. You're not going to like my answer. You know, you're not going to like my answer. Okay. You know, that's what I tell kids. I have for years. I've told them, look, when you get in 9th, 10th grade, you get in high school, this is your deal. It's not mine anymore. That you want to flunk, flunk. If you don't want to pass, don't pass. I mean, if you don't want to go to a good school, don't go to a good school. Yeah. I mean, this is your deal. It's not mine. And it's interesting, the same approach I take with all the kids here. I mean, we have a school and all that. But I go, I can love you whether you're making straight A's or whether you're making straight F's. This is about you. It's not about me. And I think what's happened with the kids here, they've come back to us going, can we go to school more? Because they realize and they've taken on the responsibility. So you got to quit doing everything for them and then help them do what they need to do. And so I think it's stuff like that. But at the same time, I would go, you know, if they don't want to go, like, well, then what do you want to do? Well, I want to do anything. Well, that's not an option because I'm not paying for the phone. I'm not paying for your car. I'm not paying for gas. I'm not paying for insurance unless we get to do something. So let's kind of come up with a plan that we're going to spend every third weekend together doing something special, going somewhere, seeing something, whatever it is, you know, and then during those off weeks, provide something that they want. Let's go out and eat. What's your favorite restaurant? Well, I've got this. Okay, let's go eat there. You know, give up what you want, start doing what they want and make sure you're involved. Now, I doubt they're going to take you to some crazy concert and have you sit with them. You know, I don't think that's going to happen, but you can provide.
Well, my husband would be all for that. He's all about the concerts.
See, yeah.
He's going to be jealous. He saw Led Zeppelin. I'm going to have to tell him about that. I'm thankful I can bring you this content because of sponsors like Honey Love. And once again, if you are in my same demographic, maybe you are in the market for some great shapewear. Okay, we are headed into fall. Maybe you're headed to some weddings or some great date nights, and you are looking to figure out what makes your dresses look even better. And what I love about Honey Love, I've been looking for a great shapewear option that wasn't annoying to get on and annoying when I needed to use the restroom while I was at the event, any of those things. And I found Honey Love, and it's in the name. I do love it because it has this targeted compression. So what that means is it sculpts and supports you where you need it, but then in other areas, it's flexible. It almost has like this X on it. So it pulls you in where you want to be held tight, but then also isn't like so constricting everywhere so you can breathe. It also has this flexible boning on the side so they stay up. They're not rolling down. There's no awkward tugging. And even if you're on the dance floor and getting your groove on, you're going to feel tight and held in, but not like, I don't know how to describe it. It's not like overwhelmingly tight, but perfectly supported. So here's a really great part for limited time. You get 20% off your entire order with our link at honeylove.com/DMA. And not only do they have this great shapewear, their superpower short, they also have a crossover bra, which I've told you about that I love. So get on their website, treat yourself if you haven't in a long time to the most comfortable shapewear on earth. Save 20% off site-wide at honeylove.com/DMA. Use our exclusive link to get 20% off, honeylove.com/DMA. After you purchase, they are going to ask you where you heard about them. Please support our show. Tell them we sent you and experience the new standard in shapewear with Honey Love. This episode is brought to you by Thrive Market. Now, I don't know if y'all know, but I have 4 boys and 3 teens that are at home with me, 1 college kid, and feeding them is a whole situation. What I love about Thrive Market is, one, it's super convenient. I order and it is at my door within a day or two. It's really fast. Also, I know that what I purchase from them is going to be high quality, no junk. I can even use their app and use a tool called the Healthy Swap Scanner. I don't know if you've heard of this, but let's say my boys love Doritos. I can use that Healthy Swap Scanner. I can scan the Doritos and I can get a new option that is stress-free. And I know that I don't have to go through all the ingredient labels myself. And I also love that they keep my previous order. So if there's a product that I have loved in the past, I can quickly go to what I've ordered before, and it is right there at the top. If you are looking for a certain thing, if you're wanting high protein meals or brain boosting lunch box staples or low sugar snack, you can go and use their amazing filtering system. Maybe you want to get rid of artificial dyes or processed sugar. It's so easy to find brands through Thrive Market's website. I am such a big fan of even their supplement options. So one of my boys asked me to get creatine. He's 18. And I found the Thorn brand creatine on there. And apparently I'm supposed to be using it too. So he and I share this big tub. And it was 12% off. And then my liquid vitamin D, I was low in vitamin D, I was able to get 19% off. So not only is it saving me time with their products coming straight to my door, but also I'm saving money. If you would like to save money, I have a deal for you. You go to thrivemarket.com/DMA. You will get 30% off your first order and a free $60 gift. That's thrivemarket.com/DMA to get 30% off your first order and a free $60 gift. Okay, so when, let's say we're in that crisis, and is discipline play a role? Like, we want to support, we want to love, we want to show that we love you no matter what you do, but at the same time, we're creating boundaries so that we keep you safe from the hard things. Like, what does that look like to stay in relationship, but set clear boundaries? Yes, give them like the ownership and the responsibility for their choices, but like, we can't be going to prison this week. So how do we?
Yeah, I think it changed. I think we get the idea. Probably I was raised more military, but I think we get the idea that rules and you know, consequences and all these boundaries are to punish kids for doing something wrong. I always say consequences and carrots. You got to have carrots there to get to a place. But discipline now has a new definition. And the definition is, how do I help a child get to where they want to go and keep them from where they don't want to end up? And so if now it's about them, it's not about them just following me and what I'm saying all the time. It is saying, this is your deal and I'm here to help you. When a kid comes home and he's just driven 80 miles an hour through a school zone, wherever it is, and he's got a $500 ticket, this is why you can laugh when he comes home. He comes home and he goes, well, I got a ticket. Well, what happened? Well, I drove 80 miles an hour through a school zone. Well, that's kind of stupid. Why would you do something like that? Well, I just wasn't thinking. Wow. So did you get a ticket? Yeah. How much is it? $500. Whoa. How are you going to pay that?
Yeah.
And they go, well, I was thinking, sorry, bud, this is your deal. Yeah. You got to pay it. I can help you. I can give you work to do and pay you for it or do whatever, but I'm not bailing you out. If you can say, if you don't make these grades, because I'm giving you the responsibility, I'm not paying for car insurance. So if you choose, it's not me choosing. If you choose not to do that, then this is what you chose. And I'm going to encourage you in every way I can. I always ask parents, you know, name five things that you want from your kids. What do you want them to do that would change the nature of your home? If you'll just do these five things, you know, then I'm going to give you these five things. And it's saying, what do I want? What do they want? And so somebody goes, well, Mark, you're manipulating. You're darn right I'm manipulating. I am creating an atmosphere where relationships can flourish. And so if somebody says you're manipulating, you're taking advantage, they're faking it to make it, I don't care. I want to have the relationship. And one day they will see that and mature to the point that they will realize the sacrifice that's been made, the time that's been made, and the intent of why we're doing what we're doing to get to a better place with them so that I can speak truth into their life as they go through these difficult times. That's what I want. And usually I just sit back. I mean, even a fool appears wise when he keeps their mouth shut. And so instead of sharing information, we need to be sharing wisdom. So I would look at any parent and say this, well, mom, what wisdom do you carry? And it's a shift in thinking. Instead of just correcting, it ought to be more intentional of connecting.
Well, I hear you saying freedom from feeling like we have to overly control, feel overly responsible, to kind of in these years step back and let them step up with the intention of getting them into adulthood and on a path that they're wanting. Do you have any stories of families who thought things were hopeless and God showed up? My light just fell, y'all. And God showed up in a surprising way.
Oh, yeah. I've got 3,500 of them.
Pick one.
Yeah, 3,500 of kids that have lived with us. You know, it's interesting to me when you begin to find the balance of and creating an atmosphere for relationships to happen, then you begin to see something begin to change within the child. We had a young lady that was adopted from Russia. She came to us. She was doing all sorts of drugs, spinning out of control, hated the parents. We'd be flipping them off, calling them every name in the book. I mean, it was just spinning out of control. She came here and within a few hours of getting here was trying to hang herself with, you know, a little cord through her hoodie that she had on. She didn't. She just graduated the program. She's now at Southern Atlantic College somewhere in Fort Lauderdale. She wants to be a counselor. I promise that we will, you know, I really promise that you get your counseling degree, I'll hire you back here in a heartbeat because of what she's experienced and gone through. But what's happened is she's learned to deal with those issues. Mom and dad have learned to give her control. You know, and I want to be real clear when I talk about, because some people think, well, you just are letting kids do whatever they want. I'm not doing that. I love kids dearly. I mean, it's my passion. But I need to tell you this too. I don't tolerate anything. I make it very clear. This is what we want. This is what you want. And I'll help you get there. And I'll love on you like crazy. But there's things I will not cross the line on at all. You know, and I do it in a fun way. And so what I'm doing is setting up an atmosphere that we can believe differently and still have an influence rather than being so judgmental that pushes them away. And I never have that influence. So I'm going to do anything I can to maintain that relationship. And I think that's what parents learn when they're here. I think parents learn more than the kids do. And they learn how to deal with their children differently because they're operating differently. Because usually when a child is spinning out of control, the inappropriate behavior is coming from a place of some issues. I mean, behavior is a reflection of the internal issues that a child has. And if they're not having those needs met and they don't feel like they're coming to conclusions on different issues in life, or they've been traumatized in such a way and somebody's not helping them through it, they will live that out in some way. So it's helping parents get to the point of saying, how can you be more relational, more engaged, and that child realize that you were there for them to make life happen? They're not there for you to have a good family kind of thing.
Yeah. Well, and just to encourage the parents out there who are like, no, I have been loving, I will reiterate, like I've had four different versions of a boy and some neurodivergencies, and the neurodivergent ones, you can present the same love and it's not received in the same way. And
you're so exactly right.
It may not be, you know, sometimes things are out of your control and you just keep trusting God to do the best that you can do. But, What encouragement as we head out of our, I just could keep talking to you for days, but I am looking at the time. What encouragement would you give to a mom who is fearful about her relationship with her teen, that it is permanently broken?
Yeah, you know, if you're a single mom, my heart goes out to any single mom, which I think is the hardest job in the world. The hardest job in the world, because you're looking for that support or somebody to engage with you just to affirm what you're doing, that you're really not a bad mom. You're not some rotten mom that that is doing it all wrong. Matter of fact, you're probably doing it all right because you're having to work twice as hard to make things happen. And I go, I think there comes a point when you can do everything right and your child's trying. And if you don't feel like you're having an influence, then get some help. Join a small group at your church. Get involved with a group of ladies. Go to counseling yourself. Find that somewhere. Call and we'll set you up for coaching with our staff. Or come to a family in crisis conference that we have. And what we do is end up putting some new tools in your parenting toolbox that maybe you haven't thought about that you need to think about. I don't see many situations at all that I think, well, that I see are hopeless. There's times that I think some are hopeless. And I go, I don't think this is going to work. Like this young lady, Kate, I thought, nah, I don't think this is going to work. I am so proud of her. I mean, and she just left in June. And I go, but not everybody can afford or has the means to send a child to a place like Heartland. So do the next best thing. Do some things at home and get that work done.
And I was talking to a friend the other day. We were saying we really need, as churches, to foster more community groups or small groups specifically for parents in similar states, because it can be challenging if you find yourself with a child who has an addiction and you're in a group and parents are giving you advice that's not even relatable to what you're experiencing. And it's like, I can imagine that through your programs, through your conferences, that parents find each other and they feel less alone because other parents get what they're going through. So
it is. Amazing. Yeah. You know, when somebody struggles, I mean, struggling is a great opportunity to review what's going on and make changes. I mean, nobody calls us because everything's going right. I mean, they don't read parenting books. I'm good. Everything's good. It's only when you have a need, you know, for that. And I think what happens is somewhere we get lost in thinking we have to do everything right, and yet we're trying, but we feel so alone because there isn't a place of engagement. When your daughter comes to you and says, hey, Mom, I think I like girls a lot more than guys. I think that you can't tell me what to do. You can't tell me whether I can have sex or not. When your son comes to you and goes, yeah, I can't wait to get away from you. You're such a little witch. You know, and there's people out there that are going through the intensity of that. When you've been told to F off one too many times, I'm going to write a book called It Takes a Lot of Liquor to Like Her. and it would be about a dad, basically, when he's at wit's end and doesn't know what to do with his daughter. Those are the kind that if you're in that situation, get with people, because you are not alone. You are not alone. There are people out there. But the tendency, whether it be our churches, our communities, our neighborhoods, our schools, they make you feel like you're alone. And I would just tell you, you're not. There are places that you can go.
Yeah. Yeah. The moms need to know that. And it is true. It can feel that way. You see all the happy, shiny people again on the internet, and it can feel like, man, everyone's got it figured out. And the shame, the enemy wants you again to isolate and shame and say, there's something wrong with you that you don't have this kind of family. So I'm so thankful that I can point listeners to y'all and your resources and all your support. And thank you for joining me today, Mark. I really appreciate it.
Absolutely.
Keep going. 50 more years.
Yeah, I hope.
I wanted to share that phone number with you again. If you were in a crisis and needing some coaching, it's 903-668-2173. And again, he does have the Parenting Teens Today podcast you can check out and get more specific help on an area you may be in crisis with your teen, and get support there and just some wisdom. It's always good to have wisdom from someone who's been around a bit and seen a lot of different families and situations, and always helpful to refocus on what is my part. And that is where my heart has been lately, just really removing a lot of my energy towards them needing to be better, but me working on my response towards them. So I'm going to pray over us. Lord, I thank you for Mark. I thank you for his long history of supporting parents and helping teens. I pray for the parent that is listening right now. I pray for the heartache that they are walking through. I pray for the strained relationship, if that's the case. I pray, Lord, for a peace to overwhelm them, for your Holy Spirit to come over them in a way that they just can feel that you are for them and you are working on their behalf. I pray, Lord, that we would do the work to figure out, as far as it depends on us, what needs to be done, how many boundaries we need to put up, but how much connection on our side do we need to focus our energy towards, what that looks like in our specific family situation, how to love our kids well, and how to hold on to hope that we are all in process, that the story isn't over, and that you will continue to guide us on how to guide them to take on that role and allow them to be the young adults that you've created them to be. Fill us with the wisdom, Lord. Fill us with the discernment on moment-to-moment decisions and conversations, and help them get caught if they're in things that they shouldn't be doing, and give us wisdom on how to gently guide them through that challenge. Give us wisdom on how to light a fire to any passions of interest or social connection that we can help them with, so that they are just flourishing, Lord. I just pray for flourishing with these young men and women. And Jesus' name, amen. I know it's tender, and I really do have, you know, a lot of conversations with a lot of different parents. And I just want you to know that you are not alone if it is hard right now. And that lie that it's only hard because you did something wrong, I just want to combat the enemy for you. And I don't want you to hide in shame. And I hope that God would bring two or three people into your world that you can talk with, if it's a mentor, if it's someone a few stages ahead of you, that can just remind you that they're not finished yet. Your kids are not finished. And to just lift your eyes up to hope. All right, I'll meet you back here next week. We have a great conversation with Amy Ford from Embrace Grace. Another, there's kind of a theme, I guess, of this fall, and I didn't intend it, but just some great guests that I am thrilled to get to chat with and hear their stories and connect you with great resources. So meet me back here next week. Okay, bye.
I hope you enjoyed this episode of the Don't Mom Alone podcast. If you're wanting to connect with more people and more resources to help remind you that you're not alone, head over to don'tmomalone.com. That's where you'll also find show notes with any links mentioned by our guests. Most importantly, I want you to know the good news, the great news that you're not alone, because God has promised to always be with you. With faith in Jesus Christ, the one who died for you and rose again, Jesus said when he left, he was going to leave a helper, a comforter, to be with us. God in us. Moms, that's superpower. So while you're washing dishes at your kitchen sink, while you're driving to and from work, while you're feeding that baby late into the night, while you're cleaning sticky floors, God promises to be just as present with you as when you're worshiping in a church pew. As it says in Zephaniah 3:17, the Lord your God is with you. He is mighty to save. He takes great delight in you. He will quiet you with his love, and he will rejoice over you with singing. Now that's good news. Have a great day.